Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the world.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined in the studios by my Monday co-host, Ciro Dobrik.
Hey, it's Ciro Dobrik, Ciro Comic. I'm getting wild with Dougie Almeida.
Now, we have a new Facebook Live thing, so we got people on Wake Up Late with Dougie. Well, actually, it's probably on my page right now, Dougie Almeida. But we're going to...
We're worldwide.
It's the camera's a little crooked, but you know, we have my iPad sitting on a pillow. And it's not very flattering. I got a man boob. I'm not wearing a bra. Anyway, So that's Facebook Live. And
forgot my girdle.
Yeah, you know, we got a new thing here on Mondays. Obviously, you're a new co-host. At this point, and I thought it'd be fun for the next several weeks while we have shows to bring people in from the Florida comedy scene.
Yeah, we got a lot of people.
Give people a voice. You know, want to come in here and talk about whatever you want to talk about, even if I don't care. You want to make fun, whatever it is. You want to come in, you got something to say. I'm inviting anybody to come in and have a conversation.
Voice your beef.
That's right.
That's what we're saying. Voice.
You know,
beef.
And speaking of former beefs or beefs, our guest today. He's been on the show, and things are happening. They happen right real time here, in a sense. You know, this isn't scripted.
Exactly. It's
not. You know, turn that mic up. You're not talking into the top. You're talking into the side.
Oh, okay. Is this better?
Way better.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Yeah, he's getting used to this radio thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He was on the show, and didn't like the way some of the topics we discussed. Asked me, even called me to say, "Hey, Dougie, can you remove that part of the show?" But you know, whatever, it happens. But coming back, he's still working. He's busting his ass. Fazil Malik or Malik.
Hey guys, yeah, Malik. But
Fazil Malik.
Yeah, we talked it out like adults, and we're able to work something out. So it's cool. Things happen. It's normal.
I am impressed in the Florida comedy scene. I've had a few things with people in the Florida, right? I guess you could say that I've been involved in some...
Well, you know, it's easy to do.
Yeah?
It's easy to get involved.
A guy like me, I'm outspoken. I'm not going to hold my thoughts back. I share my thoughts pretty openly. No one can ever say they'll die with a knife in their back with my name on it.
You're very straightforward.
Yeah.
You don't beat around the bush.
I don't fucking... Yeah, because that's the way I am. If you have something you don't like, you know, something's wrong, just come up to me. Hey, dude, you know...
First of all, you just have to be human first. Hey, this bothered me. Is there something wrong here? And then, you know, then you can secretly plot against them and do voodoo dolls and whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
People's hair.
And I'll give credit, you know, for example, Jay Risk,
right,
comic here, and been through a lot, that kid.
Yes.
You know, we had a thing. Basically, he opened a club about 200 feet. 200 yards from my club on the same night, and things are said. Friends, you know, people made decisions. There were people that said, and that right there, I recognized the separation with several comics here in the South Florida comedy scene that didn't like the way I handled it, which everybody's entitled. I don't give a shit. I'm not here to be liked. If I cared about how comics felt about me, you know, that's not my concern. I can't control how comics feel about me, anybody for that matter, but I'm definitely not concerned about how other comics feel about me. As long as I'm not an asshole.
Exactly. Well, if you're being truthful and you're not being an asshole about anything,
right,
it's business and it's, hey,
right,
respect. There's something happening here. Let's...
Everything that happened in that situation, you know, the thing, like, for example, I admitted to people, like, the worst thing I did, and in all truthfulness, my good friend Lenny, you know, I'm talking to Lenny Travis when it happened. I'm like, do you believe this guy opened a room, you know, on the same night? And I'll be honest. I've been said, look, he didn't. No offense, but Jay didn't have a reputation of running a good room. And you know, when you, if you're selling pretzels and a guy wants to sell pretzels on the same corner you are, you know, and you know his pretzels are shit, and you got great pretzels, you don't want that guy on your corner because somebody's going to eat a shitty pretzel on that corner and go, I'm never going to get a fucking pretzel again on that corner.
And the thing about Jay, it wasn't even that he was a bad person. It was just he was new to comedy. When you're new to comedy, it's going to...
And like I said, he came back and he said, look, I admit it. I was going through shit and I didn't. Exactly. I wasn't thinking. I handled... And that's, you know, that's why I'm saying this. Him and I are friends.
Right.
Because he came to me and said, look, I was wrong, you know? And
it takes
and,
guts to do
yeah,
that, too.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, at this point, it's done. You know, right. It's over with. And I have no ill will or anything like that. I wish the guy well and everything. But... There was funny from it. It was how people, you know, like I would go to an open mic, I'd hang out, and I'd get the look by somebody. I'm like, what's up with the fucking stink guy? But then, and then it finally settled in. Oh, this person still doesn't, you know, they chose size in that situation. And they've decided that this is who I am.
Right.
You know, that's the worst thing you could do in the comedy scene is take sides because you don't know both people or the situation.
Well, three sides, everything.
Right.
You know, third side never gets told.
And, you know, I've had a lot of comics from outside Florida say that we have a reputation of being a kind of a fucked up comedy scene and right. that there's a lot of that. There's, you know, it's not the same as in New York. It's not the same as in, obviously, in L.A. It's not the same as in Atlanta. You know, everybody's kind of wit for each other. Nobody talks shit about, you know, each other. And, you know, I've said it a million times, talking shit is when you say something about somebody like, let's say, you know, I start talking to you and I never talked to Ciro about something. I said, you know, that fucking Ciro, man, I hate when he wears those fucking glasses.
Right.
You know what I mean? He, what does he think? He's a librarian? What is he, fucking Superman? What the fuck is he doing with you? You know what I mean? And I started talking shit.
Right.
And now, it wouldn't be. Would you think it'd be talking shit if I had, prior to you and I having this conversation, I went to Ciro and go, Ciro. Dude, what's up with the fucking glasses? What do you wonder? What the fuck are you Wonder Woman? You know what I mean? If I just started fucking with them, and then so if that's the way it happened, it's not talking shit to you, is it?
No, because you're approaching him,
right? But there is somebody who would be now sitting next to you while you and I are having this conversation. They have no life, or they're just a fucking busybody, you know, fucking moon pie,
a 3D troll,
a moon pie hooplehead. You know what I mean? And they're going to go, hey, man, you hear what so-and-so said about fucking, she's talking shit about Ciro, man. I don't believe this shit, you know? And they're going to go to some other hooplehead, and that hooplehead's going to go, I never liked that guy either. He thinks he's so fucking bad. And now you have this growing amoeba fucking virus.
A hooplehead brigade.
Yeah, the hooplehead brigade.
The thing is, you have to be careful, too. Like, if someone's talking trash about someone else, chances are they're talking trash about you, too.
Yeah, I think that's a good. I think that's a good call when somebody and
the odds are definitely.
You know, and I'll even like it's self admission. I won't go into the story, but somebody had asked me about a particular person recently.
Right.
Or, you know, let's say I was in a club, and you know, the person asked like, "How do you, you know about this person?" I'm like, you know, whatever. And they could sense that I wasn't like, "Oh, good dude." You know what I mean? They're like, "What's the matter?" I'm like, you know. And right there, I just should have left it. Like, you know, whatever. Right. And I'm an open, you know. My wife, she says, sometimes you need to shut up. You know, don't fucking nobody need to know. But I'm just like, you know, like it's no big deal to me. And then you start telling, well, you know, whatever, this or that, and you know. So another comic friend of mine, you know, in a similar sense, says, look, it's not that you're right or that didn't happen or any of that shit, whatever. The problem is that now you're at a club and they're like, that guy's a fucking, you know, he's not cool with people. Like you just said, if somebody comes up to you and says, you know, so-and-so is an asshole, this and that, blah, 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 blah. You know, like it's right there. You should almost say, I'm not going to participate in this conversation because.
Or compliment that person so they shut up.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Oh, so-and-so? I love that guy.
Exactly. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Good friends. Yeah.
That's a great move.
It is. Move. Think about it, because then the person's sitting there with their dick in their hand going, wait a minute. You know what I mean? Not a bad call there by our friend Fozzle.
There we go.
By the way, speaking of some of this, so you're right. You know, so even myself, there's two things I'm proud of. Number one, it's been over 2.5 weeks since I've had any alcoholic beverage.
Way to go.
Good for you.
Yeah, and I've already getting, you know, some notices. I know you guys, I got man boobs, and the lighting is horrible for me right now. And like I said, you know, I mean, hold on a second, I got a Facebook Live, I need to fucking...
It's definitely just the angle. It's
See what I'm saying? Now I look even. Yeah, there we go. All right.
Doing some Andy Warhol poses.
You know, so, but, you know, even in that, like, you know, I made a mental note. I'm like, you know what? Exactly. This shit's whatever. So I made it. I said, this is one. I'm not ever going to talk about this shit ever again.
Right.
I don't care if somebody asks or wants to know. I'm going to fuck it. You know, who the fuck it, you know? And, and number one, and but the drinking, dude, let me tell you something, man.
Impressive.
Yeah. And, you know, and most of those nights I was at a bar or sitting at a bar.
Right.
You know, it's not like the last 2 weeks I've been sitting home and I've got no refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, it's easy to say I didn't eat any Oreo cookies this week, but if there's none in the fridge and there's none in the house and you didn't leave the house, it's kind of easy. You know, oh, congratulations.
Because it's not there. There's alcohol in your house and you're not drinking it.
Right.
There's always a camera watching. We like, got that on tape.
My friend, my friend says, my friend says, he goes, listen, I didn't quit doing drugs. I just quit buying drugs.
Which usually leads to buying them again, though.
Yeah.
Zero knows.
I could quit drugs. I just can't quit buying them.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about Oreos.
They're delicious.
Yeah, I fucking, you know, double stuffed Oreos. Are you fucking crazy?
The old Twinkies.
And while we're on that, you know, is there anything better than a double stuffed Oreo in a that you take out of the freezer?
I've never had that.
Good. All right, you never had it? All right, no. So you gave us a good idea. Next time someone's talking shit about somebody, say something positive.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so now here's my gift to you.
Okay.
All right, you got to go get a, when you leave here, go get a pack of double stuffed Oreos.
Okay.
I think they're in a purple kind of color or something. Not the blue ones. Those are the thin ones.
Okay.
You get the double stuffed. They look, you know, nice and fluffy, and you get those, and you go and you put them, if you want, start off with the fridge. You know, just put them in the fridge overnight.
Baby steps.
Right, baby steps. Exactly, Cyril. Thank you. Baby steps. You know, I want to go nuts with the fucking Oreos. And then you put them in the freezer.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. No, baby steps. You're right. Baby steps. Sorry. Got out of hand. Baby steps. You want to go ahead and, you know, put them in the refrigerator, 24 hours at minimum.
Okay.
All right. I don't know if you drink milk. You lactose.
I drink milk.
All right, good. Yeah, you big boy. All right, so he's going to drink milk. So you get a nice cold glass of milk.
Okay.
And you grab, you know, don't go crazy. Again, baby steps. Just grab like about, you know, whatever your fingers can grab. That's my dietary system when I use Oreos. Right. I just use whatever I can grab in a rack in my hand, like chips. And I grab those, and then I take them back, a nice napkin, because, you know, I get fucking Oreo crumbs all over the place.
And then should I put the milk in a bottle too?
No, the glass. Okay. And a wide glass. Don't get a thin glass. Don't drink from a champagne flute.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, champagne flute. You want a big wide milk glass.
Okay.
All right, that you can put a nice cup or so of milk in there. Cold. And you drink, now you take that, you go sit down, you got the Oreos, you're at a table, you're nice, and you go ahead and dunk.
Dunk it.
You go ahead and dunk that thing in there, all right?
All right.
And if you want, you'll leave it, you know, it doesn't have to be a quick thing. You can let it there simmer a little bit. It's a double stuff.
Right.
Double stuffs can absorb an extra couple seconds of dunking.
Got it.
And then go ahead and just take a bite. Don't eat the whole thing in your mouth because you may have dry residue that'll fuck it up the whole texture of the cookie.
Yeah, we don't want
that. Just eat the part of the cookie that's drenched.
Okay.
And then you tell me that, you know, this will keep you from masturbating for a while, because if you just do this for a couple of days, your sexual satisfaction will be completely snuffed.
Wow.
You're a single guy, so
yeah,
I thought that's a bit of, right?
That's mind blowing.
That's one way of self control. That's definitely one way.
I'm surprised that I can go to a bar now and get a glass of water. I've done this now for the last 2 weeks.
Good.
Sometimes I want to make it special. I get a ginger ale.
On the rocks with no salt.
What, ginger ale?
Yeah.
Who the fuck puts salt in their ginger ale?
Being sarcastic.
Is that a joke? Okay.
Now, actually, one thing I wanted to say I respected about you was I was listening to one of your episodes, and it was that beef thing, and you were like, Fassel, don't get involved with it. So I respect that advice.
What beef thing?
It was with the episode with Ethan Moore.
Oh, and Ethan, yeah.
Yeah,
because you had, I guess there was something between you and John Gregory.
I don't even care about the guy.
Let me ask you a question. So if John Gregory, you have you ever been in the same room with him since then?
Yeah, I have. I've been in.
Well, you're both tall, both two tall guys.
Yeah,
right.
It kind of has like a nice look, like a Rocky Six. You know what I mean?
It's Gladiator, right?
You know
there.
What I mean?
Right, right.
You know that would be. Then are you guys ever been considered like doing a little roast challenge?
No, I don't even both know villages. Who he is. I mean, the John Gregory in Arizona is hilarious.
I know John Gregory was a wackadoo, From Arizona, yeah, I love
that guy's hilarious.
Last
that's
time,
John Gregory, I know.
I've seen him a few times. We were in the SLL Comedy Festival, San Luis Obispo. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
I was there a couple years ago.
Very nice.
And you get
you're gonna do really well out there.
Yeah.
Does he have?
No, I was there already. Thanks.
Does he have Ciro's style though? This John Gregory in Arizona?
He looks like a fucking mass murderer on stage, and he just sits there and he grinds his teeth and grabs his hair and he's fucking great. And
that's different.
Very, yeah. And we went at the festival. We got to stay in the hotel. Everybody get a room.
Right.
So you just have to get there, and pretty much everybody cooks. There's always food.
That's
so
nice.
You don't have to worry about food. Great festival to get into. And there's like 40 of us in a fucking hotel room one night after the shows. And there's food, like trays of food, and all these people and that, you know.
Is that part of the rules or
what? That we all have to get together? It's mandatory, guys. You have to do two or three shows. And it's another good festival too, because you do three or four shows in the community, different places. You're not just doing one show or two.
Right.
So he comes, you come there to get food. There's food and stuff. There's people drinking, smoking. And obviously we got the cops came. It was one of those nights. Cops right, came, right. Like fucking 40 people in an apartment complex or a hotel room.
Wow.
He comes walking in. John comes walking in with this long, big fucking hoagie in a plastic bag, like one of those cheap hoagies you just buy.
Yeah.
Like in a fucking, with
a vending machine.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a big, and he comes up and he's like, "Do you want a bite?" And I'm like, "It was hot food and shit here, you know?" And we're like, he's like, he's still sitting there holding it, you know?
Right.
And we're just bullshit. We're all getting hot. And then we're sitting there talking. But again, it's 40 comics in this room. And we're all hanging out and he's still sitting there. He's looking at me like, he's holding the hoagie. And I'm like, "Yeah, all right, buddy, give me a fucking bite of that hoagie."
So based on experience with festivals, it's a good way to meet comics for you?
No better way. Okay. You know, until you get out of this area or your own home area,
right?
If that's all you know, you're cheating yourself. Because I remember the first few times, like I was, I think a World Series of Comedy is probably the first thing I ever did.
Right.
And like Charlie Goodnight's in Raleigh. Okay. I went to a festival. Yeah, I went to a satellite there once. I did a satellite in San... in Texas, San Antonio.
Okay.
And, that was one of the first times. It's funny because I went up last on the show.
Right.
And this guy who went up before me did a horrible Asian accent.
That makes it tougher.
Like his girlfriend or wife was Asian. I'm like, God damn it. it's my core of my bit. I mean, you know, and so right there I was, as never before as a comic, was I posed with this little challenge. You know, how am I going to handle this?
Yeah.
You know, as a comic on the road, here's the thing. To me, the secret of being a successful comic, well, I should say road comic, or if you want to be on the road and getting work and you're working on your craft, right. That's what I'm doing. I feel like I'm out there polishing my sword. You know what exactly. I mean? I'm just out there just battling, doing everything I can. So when I come back, I'm wielding Excalibur for when it counts.
Yeah.
Right?
You're doing that Japanese style.
That's right, dude. Yeah. Double folded steel. You know what I mean? This ain't no fucking plated steel. Like, cut it out. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you heard O.J. Simpson may be coming out of jail. He may be paroled. Wouldn't it be funny if he worked for, like, a knife company? Like,
gloves,
you know, like a Hinkle's.
Gloves.
Yeah, he sells gloves and Hinkle's fucking, like, Cutco cutlery.
Oh, don't worry. He'll get arrested a day after.
Coming this summer. Isotoners again.
That's right.
What?
When I kill somebody, I make sure I go out and grab some isotoners.
Wait. Can we take that again? Next take.
Yeah.
If I was to kill somebody.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah,
man.
Fucked up. Anybody see my football? May get his pensions. Good for him. I don't know. I was talking about something.
So how did you handle it when the guy did the Asian was horrible?
I stuck with what I know. I said, look, I'm not going to change things now. And I went on the fact that I know I could do the voices much better. I mean, it was really bad voices. I mean, and the reason I'm saying that is that's the way I felt. But when I got off stage, it was I did all right. And I got last and everything went well.
Right.
And I had asked actually Joel Lowers, who runs it at the time. I go, "Hey, I was nervous about doing, what do you think?" And he says, "You did good, because you don't change what you're going to do last minute sometimes. That can go bad. But you did a good job. You obviously showed up." Like, if anything, it was bad for him, because
it was
somebody else.
It was a bad impression.
Right.
Bad.
Like, in other words, you did it, you did something, completely different jokes, but you did something and you did it much better. So I realized, you learn. In other words, the point is, I'm not going to learn that going into a local open mic every night, seeing the same people. You know, one of the things you guys talked about, you and Darius, which you do live, the Facebook thing, which I watched. It was good.
Thank you.
They left out, by the way. They're sitting there. You know, Darius is on. I have him featuring at the Wise Guys Comedy Show coming up next month. March.
Really?
Yeah, and there's guy. He's him and fucking Fozzle over here is going. Oh, I want to tell you guys about some good rooms in South Florida. Gigi's and yeah, and American Rock Bar. Anything? I'm leaving anything out?
Yeah, there is. I don't know, man. I love the improv. I love the improv.
And then, you know, but no Wise Guys Comedy Show. Didn't say a fucking thing about it, which has been running for 3.5 years every week on Wednesdays.
Yeah, Wise Guys is a great comedy show. I must have left it out because I haven't been booked there in so long. That's
yeah, well, you know, follow direction. Fucking,
by the way.
You got to hear this, dude. You know, and by the way, great job. Ciro did a guest spot.
Thank you for that.
Good job,
that
Ciro.
And I'm going to be completely honest. Your style of comedy, I'm concerned about that room. And did you experience it?
He's loud.
Yeah. No. I mean, you know, it's a different as an alternative style of comedy. And, you know, you never know. You never know in the Wise Guys comedy room at Tavolino's what audience you're going to get. You know, when Ty Rivera was there a few weeks ago, we had an old, waspy, judgmental crowd, which was a perfect storm because that is the complete opposite of what Ty Rivera, you know, caters right. to, like, or in a sense, or his style. So there was, you know, but it worked.
Right.
Conflicted laughter.
Yeah, and you know, and he did a great job. Now,
I like Ciro because he's unique, his style.
Stop kissing ass, okay? This guy has read the
Let
Tony
him
Robbins.
Let him speak.
All right, I'll be quiet. It's your show, Dougie.
Hey, shut up. Let the professionals, let the parents, let the fucking grown-ups talk. Anyway, we're going to take a break soon. But the point was what? Where were we? You're keeping up. You're keeping on track.
Yeah, Darius.
Oh yeah. So you guys are doing that, and one of the things you talked about in the last one was you know, gigs not to do, right? Gigs you could do and should be doing. You know, I think it was a great point because once in a while, you know, we don't want to get into the gigs that you shouldn't be doing.
Right.
I want to bring that up again.
Okay.
Patti LaBelle boy. But like there's certain there's certain gigs let's say that there's a particular gig now that somebody reached out to me and said, "Hey, they want headliners for it and stuff like that." And I'm like, "All right, you know, the pay is pretty decent and you know, it's good and stuff, but I realize that for me to move forward in my life, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, that's not a gig I need, you know, I don't really want to take up a Saturday night on that, you know, on my calendar, let's say, when I really want to be feeling Wednesday through Saturday with the rooms I want to start working. You know, if anything, like now, one of my focuses is
a networking move.
Yeah, I want to, I don't want to take a gig unless there's three nights involved, you know what I mean, anymore, because it doesn't make any sense to me. I'd rather have that time with my family and all my shit and do my own thing.
Or unless it's close to you, then you'd take it, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But even then, it's like, all right, if I'm not booked and it happens, but at this point, I'm booked out like now through June, July.
Good for you.
And, you know, I'm not, when I'm booking now, I'm looking at June, July, July, August, September. And, you know, I'm not going to, somebody says, hey, you want to work that Saturday night? I'm like, at this point, I'm saying, yeah, I'll put it in the calendar. I'll try to book around it. But if it is local, then I'm like, that weekend shot, I know. I'm going to be home. But the point is that there's certain gigs that you shouldn't do. Like, you guys are talking about things like, you know, where there's no real stage, there's distractions. It's very nice that you actually describe someplace, but without naming the actual particular venue, which is nice.
Tried not to.
Yeah, you can't. I don't know if you saw his thing with Darius, but yeah, it was interesting. He's like, let's say you go to this place and there's like video games and like bar people that are not paying attention. There's no stage.
And they start the show half an hour later.
Yeah, you know. But it's a good listen. It's a good little thing you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Interesting.
I want to let you know though.
Right.
I want to let you know for Tavolino's. I know it's an older crowd. You should check out Joe Nay. We had a thing with older people, and he crushed it.
Yeah. I'll check him out again.
Yeah, check him out.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And here, and I mentioned this in the past, and I'll let this be known, but guest spots aren't really – Ed frowns on them because we had a lot of bad ones.
Right.
Not only that, and not to mention, you know, we always had So You Think You Can Feature – contest because I need features. I need people that can do 20 minutes and not walk a crowd.
Right.
And it's challenging. And people that think they could do 20 minutes you think you could do 20 minutes in a great crowd, but if the crowd is not a easy crowd, you can't do 20 minutes. It's very bad.
So you want like 30 then, right?
No. Well, you, the comic, should be doing 30 yeah, and to tell me that I'm going to do you. Now, that's the thing. Sometimes we do. Yeah. We're going to be doing like feature spots at 15 minutes now.
Oh, that's nice.
You know what I mean? So, and it, but it's not the same. It's not $75, $100. Obviously, do 15 minutes and maybe 25. It's like a showcase spot in a sense. And yeah, and that, you know what I mean? That just to come in. And I'll be honest, what I want to start doing with the show is I want to bring in a strong act to open the show when I can't be there. That's what I need too. I need somebody when I'm not around, right, that can open the show and handle any type of adversity that room will bring.
Right.
And you know, if any other comic struggle, that can always bring it back. Great example of that, Frank Del Pizzo at Off the Hook Comedy Club, my buddy Frank.
He's good.
You know, he's fantastic. He, you know, this, it's funny because the manager over there, yeah, the manager over there is like, you know, sometimes acts are like, I don't want to follow this guy. He's the opening act, you know, and he's a pro. He's been doing 30, you know. So, but I know, like, and he's been great because, matter of fact, we got somebody. Oh, and I have Uncle Lair coming, an old Chicago comic. Okay. I'm actually going to be working with at Zany's in the end of March in St. Charles, so I'll be in Zany's in St. Charles with Uncle Lair March 23rd, 24th, 25th in St. Charles, Illinois. If you want to
so
come out?
So how do you book these headliners?
All right, we'll get into some of this stuff. So don't fucking come in here and ask him for secrets, dude. You know, I'm not giving you away. I'm not giving away the Dougie. I made a. You're like a sponge. I won't mention the person anymore because I'm not going to. It's like Voldemort. But I don't want to say anything in front of you.
I know this guy.
Yeah, this guy. You say something. Next thing you know, he starts doing it.
I'm going to see a guy about a horse.
I'm just trying to learn. I'll be quiet.
Yeah, no, don't be quiet. Keep saying shit like that so I know where the fuck your sneaky ass is going.
I know it'll be the always dangerous Faz O'Malley comedy show.
Hello, everybody on Facebook. How many people we got watching now there, Faz? Keep that out, man. Don't. Right.
Yeah, you don't got to put that away.
Yeah, don't need to. Somebody's going to steal your phone. What are you, like Al Qaeda? Fucking worried about leaving your shit out? Someone's going to scan it?
Fine, let's go.
Actually, no, put that away.
Yeah, I mean, matter of fact, anyway.
Six
oh,
people.
Wow, six. Woo. Oh. Yeah, we're not getting any money, by the way. Hey, people, call your friends, tell your friends. We got the Wake Up Late with Dougie show here. I'm here with my co-host today, Ciro Dobrik.
Hey there.
And guest in the studio, comedian Fazil Malik.
Hello.
They're not deaf and fucking retarded. They're listeners on a podcast.
What's up?
I don't know how well you guys can hear us over there on my iPad. We're sitting on a pillow. But we'll be right back with segment two, oddly enough, right after this.
Hey, this is Pete Lee, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, because it's late, and I just woke up.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Can you remember my name? My name is Dougie Boy. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. It's Monday night here in the studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's a nice breezy 72 degrees. Right? Beautiful day in South Florida.
It was really nice today.
Gorgeous.
Ciro Dobrik.
Super great day to sit in traffic behind an accident. It was so nice. Did you catch that on the way here?
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Today, I actually getting to the studio. I was in Hallandale seeing a client today. And
You took...
And I actually jumped on, I was on 95, which gets a little clustered. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that they have that, you know, the big thing they're talking about now is that the express lanes, people don't like them. I love them because I'm usually on them.
Okay.
Unless somebody, like if you're on express lanes, when they divide up a regular highway, an interstate, which is free, and then they put that SunPass thing on, an easy pass around the country, and then you get the drive through and it charges you a dollar anywhere to surge pricing.
But it doesn't, it's like... HOV, you can be...
Yeah, that's the thing. Yourself. I think if you're by yourself, you're paying, you're good. You know what I mean? But, you know, some people get... they don't know how to fucking handle that. Florida drivers, next thing you know, they're cutting across. They're going over the pylon things and shit.
Especially in Miami.
Oh, yeah. But when I would go to the... When we'd go to the Heat games, I'd get on that thing because, you know, you're going past it. You just get on that. It would suck if there was an accident on there because then you're stuck.
Right.
That's you can't go out. You can't get out of the lane. Anyway, welcome back to the show. In segment two of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, we basically you know, these are stories. As I go through straight from the headlines, I'm trying to find fucked up stories. But sometimes you don't find fucked up stories or messed up stories. You find stories that are like, wow, you know what? I find this interesting. Like, in other words, like
something that you connect to on a deeper level.
I don't know how deep it's got to be. You know what I mean?
We're reading the Bible.
But all right, the first thing. All right, the first thing is
you're just a smoking monk. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what it is. Sometimes you're just a smoking monk.
You're a monk who could smoke because you know how to ask. Monsignor, is it okay if I pray while I smoke? Well, yes, that's fine, Father Douglas. Two things. First, rest in peace, Bill Paxton, great actor who died at age of 61. He just got this TV show with Training Day. This thing just came out. Can you imagine the co-star in that? It must be like, what the fuck?
People saying that was going to be really good.
He's great.
He's done everything that's amazing.
Right? I mean, you remember him on Real Genius, right? When he was the fucking older brother.
It was Weird Science.
Weird Science, Real Genius.
Oh, yeah. Well, Friday night, I'm at my bar. This guy comes up, and I look right at him. I go, what can I get you? Would you like a nice, greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray? And he goes, no, dickweed. I'm like, yes, that's the best.
He knew the line, yeah. You know,
so great. So great.
People connect.
Childhood is amazing. We had the best movies.
You ever see that movie, Weird Science?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't remember it that well.
No, you didn't see it. Don't fucking lie to me. He's trying to be like cool. He's trying to see it. He doesn't want
to
say
definitely
no.
Definitely something to check out. It was
Weird Science.
Up.
It's something that's not on PBS?
No. Okay. It's a comedy with the kid who was Johnny, what's his name? He was in 16 Candles.
Anthony Michael Hall,
who now does...
It was one of Robert Downey Jr.'s first flicks.
Is it these guys are crazy over a girl or no?
No, well, these guys are two nerd kids that create a woman on their computer. What was her name?
The woman.
Kelly LeBrock?
Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah, Kelly LeBrock, hot chick. They design her from a computer. And then they take her to school with them, and
chips,
all the guys
dips,
are like...
whips, chains.
What the fuck?
You know.
Kelly LeBrock sounds like a wrestler.
Well, it's because you never get laid. You think of wrestling.
Oh.
Yeah, I think of Kelly LeBrock, my dick starts talking to me again.
It was Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah.
Hard to Kill.
That's
great
right.
Movie.
She was horrible. Come on, dude.
Hard to listen to, great to look at.
You're talking about a Steven Seagal movie, Hard to Kill, where he comes back and all of a sudden he
has Makawara boards and everything.
Yeah, it was amazing how the house they happened to be staying at of the doctor she knew had all this fucking feng shui Buddha fucking incest shit so he can go all crazy. Yeah, but the scene of them shooting at them when they're in that fucking Jeep is so unrealistic. Those type of bullets with that type of armament, those they would have been fried. They've been dead.
You just don't understand Aikido the way he does.
I'm not a master Aikido.
You're not a master Aikido.
I was an Aikido master guy. By the way,
Is it an Aikidist? Or is it...
What? Is it Aikidist?
No, an Aikidist.
No, an Aikidist. No,
you did some sort of karate, though.
Oh, what gives it away?
Always dangerous.
I studied all... Here's the thing about martial arts. Like, people ask, like, what... We were in South Florida as transient as it can be, right? In and out, people coming in and out.
Right.
Same as karate schools. Like, so when I was like 9 or 10, I started taking karate.
Okay.
And it was a certain style. And, you know, about a year or two, a year and a half into it, 2 years into it, the school closes. So you're like, all right.
That's weird.
So now you got to, you know, all right, I'm going to go to another school. So a few months goes by. Now you go to another school. Meanwhile, you're like a fucking brown belt.
Right.
You know, and you're like, all right, whatever, I'll start over. And then, you know, a lot of times the instructors are like, yeah, you know, you could tell the guy, you know, I can't keep this guy at a white belt. You test him next week, you know, see if he can break the boards.
Or,
yeah, you get
normal.
A little, you know. And then what happens? I got to a black belt in the Joe Hess style. It's like a karate style. And he would never give you a black belt unless you were 16. So it was a black belt with a white stripe. But, you know, and I was like 12. At this point, you know, whatever.
You were 12 with a black belt?
Yeah. Wow. And I already had a high brown belt.
What made you want to do karate in the first place? Were you getting bullied?
Meeting fucking assholes like you? No. I had three older brothers. Okay. I had brothers that were in it. So, you know, I was a Bruce Lee fan. You know, you just, when you're 70s, you're growing, young kid in the 70s.
Gotcha. Big,
so, Bruce Lee. You like it. You know, wah, wah, you know. I'm trying to find video. I had fights when the Wilmo came through here. in this closet, I had everything in VCR, mostly VCR shit, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't get flooded from Wilma, but when the power was out for 5 or 6 days,
right?
The power's out and it sucked it like a week or so. When it finally came on, all the air in the air and the water pipes, that's why if your water goes off, you got to shut the valve until the power comes back on. If you don't, the air pushes out when the water starts rushing, and it blew the fucking filter out of this bathroom.
No way.
Like, that's where the kitchen filter,
right.
Blow it out. It's like 4 a.m. We're happy there's power, right? Wife and all of a sudden, that same night, we hear like water. I'm like, what the fuck? There's a river running through the house. I get out, and as you walk through the front door, picture water coming like you know, as you walked in the kitchen, it was underwater.
Oh my god!
And like we had the carpet and all the room, all these rooms were flooded like baseboard high.
It's a good thing you had a boat in the bedroom.
Comedy's hard. fucking had a boat in the bedroom. Wait,
did you hear
like
the
a
sound
sushi
like
boat?
It sound like in Goonies when they were messing with the pipes or anything. Oh, it's gonna blow!
Right. So a lot of shit. Baseball cards. I have a bunch of shit that were in boxes in there on the floor, and they all got things got warped. So then you go to different schools. So that I was in it, and then but the big thing was, you know, after a while, I trained for a long. One of my buddies says, "Hey, you want to get in the ring and fight, like real fights?" I go, "Fuck yeah!" That was like, let me get in shape. Then I'm going to get real serious. I'm going to get training like a professional sport.
Exactly.
And
well,
that was great.
You got to find schools that are in a place that is going nowhere, Dougie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Hollywood YMCA karate was the best.
They never left.
Yeah. It was there for years.
But they had different instructors coming in eventually.
No, actually, my school was there for about 20 years.
Yeah, you did karate too, Cyril?
Yeah. Started when I was 5. I got beat up.
Yeah, that's what gave you the
yeah.
The,
I was not going to get beat up again.
Maybe you and Dougie could have a karate contest.
Then I did.
You think you can? Yeah. How do you think you do?
When now?
Let's say after about 20 minutes of stretching, if we put on headgear, let's say 10-ounce gloves and some shin protectors and some foot pads,
we would have so much fun.
Yeah.
Dougie.
So much fun because you know. We're not here to hurt each other.
If somebody wants to film it, I'll be glad to get fully geared up, my old Muay Thai outfit.
Okay.
And we'll put on the gear.
Do you have the thing where the candles lit behind it and you do the move?
I do the whole fucking dance.
Dude, I don't know if I can handle it.
You ain't gonna go well for you, dude. I can tell he's kicking the shit and equipment over. All right. So that's not a bad idea. So maybe you and I will do some. Maybe next time on Facebook Live, we'll do. You and I will do.
You want to do Facebook Live?
Yeah, maybe you and I will Facebook Live.
Absolutely. Anybody want to see that?
Sierra and I will do. Sierra and I are going to do about 1 or 2 rounds, like 2-minute rounds, kind of thing. Didn't that go crazy? At least
your views
right?
will go through the roof.
You think? Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, marketing pro.
There you go.
How many people you have viewing you and Darius? Have you noticed? That was like 6 or 7.
We had like 8 or 9, but when I went on my fan page, it went to like 1.
Oh.
The fan page is Facebook makes you pay for everything. The fan page.
Oh yeah, you can. You got to do it on this. The fan page. You don't do anything.
Right.
Anyway, so as for segment 2 here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, rest in peace, Bill Paxton, and the Oscars. You know, I got to put out a very an interesting meme. I had a picture of who's the guy who was announcing with Faye Dunaway? Warren Beatty. I have a picture of everybody on the stage when all that calamity happened, I guess, during the Oscars. You know, it was, again, like a Steve Harvey moment, right?
Yeah,
during the but basically, and the film of the year is La La Land. And, you know, it wasn't. It was Moonshine or whatever it is. You know, that was actually filmed here in Liberty City about Haitian crack whores. I don't know what it was. I didn't see the movie. I heard the production quality was horrible, and they couldn't believe it was actually won best film.
Wow.
Now, they announced the wrong movie. Warren Beatty was looking at it like he looked at it, and he showed Faye, and then he gave it to Faye, so she read it. Warren's not a dumbass. He's like, you read this fucking thing. It doesn't seem right to me. But he read
La La Land.
What a racist.
I swear to God. Like, if you just can't remember... Who deserves to be the Oscar winner? Did you know who got Best Picture?
That's what I just said, isn't it?
No. That's Greatest Film or something.
No, Best Movie, whatever film of the year. Best Picture, same thing, isn't it?
I hope not, because the Best Picture was the picture of Trump's family in the White House portrait. That's the
nice
Best Picture.
You know, But I did put the meme out that basically, you know, it's funny how Hollywood thinks they know how the country should run, yet they can't even fucking run an award show. and, you know, and by the way, there was a lot of talk about the Oscars because last year was like all white Oscars, right? Because everybody, all the nominees were white. So people were complaining, why aren't there more, you know, people of color, you know, in these for the movies themselves and, of course, the actors.
Yeah.
And this year that they took a pretty good, they actually got some representation. The movie of the year is filmed by a black gentleman.
Which is nice.
Yeah, good for him. And nice. And actresses, that number with the NASA scientists, the women numbers, you know. So, I don't know. Hey, to me, it's like, when I hear stuff like that, it always, it's like weird to me. Because coming from as an athlete, you know, I played in collegiate soccer. You know, I played, you know, competitive sports all my life. Team was a team. You know, we didn't get, you know, it's like, you know, oh, I don't want that black. You know, it's like when you lived in that type of world, you're not, you don't think like that. You simply think based on production. You know what I mean? I don't give a shit what, I don't care, tall, height, whatever. When you're on a team, all you care is about production. The only time you get pissed off is when somebody doesn't fucking carry their weight.
Yeah, because right. You have to do it, and that's frustrating.
It fucking is a weak link on the team. So, you know, that's the way.
The way it was in chess club.
Yeah, it's the same thing, you think? Yeah. I didn't realize. Well,
and
yeah.
Physics club.
Yeah.
So you had people help you when you played chess?
Well, it was sort of social. Demented and sad, but social.
Yeah.
Know?
That's interesting. Well, here's another story. You know, does the name Rachel Dolezal?
Yeah, the white girl.
Yeah.
White girl pretending to be black.
Yeah.
She's a black lady.
She's not black.
Former
did I miss something?
Yeah, former NAACP leader who claimed to be black and it was actually a white woman is on food stamps. So maybe she is.
I heard they were only offering her porno flicks or something else.
Yeah, that's always your last choice. Like, wow. And it doesn't matter if you're like a former athlete, you're a former actor. It's usually, your last resort is doing a porn.
That's great. It'd be good if she was doing porn spoofs on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rachel Dolezal, the former NAACP leader from Spokane, Washington, who resigned after it came to light that she was falsely presenting herself as black, is jobless and may soon be homeless.
That's sad.
Well, you know, hey, you know, I think that's great.
I
do. And, you know, listen, you know, well, here's something that's interesting. Usually if you're capable, we're talking about producers.
Right.
Remember Rachel Dolezal?
Yeah.
She's the woman who made headlines in 2015 when it was revealed that she had been presenting herself as.
Yeah, I just said that, dickhead.
What are you copying, Dougie?
This guy trying to fucking.
Get off our line,
this guy trying to pirate my show? What the fuck? But, you know, one way or the other, you're going to bounce back. You know, I think about these kind of shit. Like, I would always respect the people that no matter whatever happened, like the old saying is like a fighter.
Right.
You know, it's one thing to knock the fuck out of everybody. Like with Mike Tyson, beat the fuck out of everybody. And after a while, people just got scared of who he was. They went in there, they lost before they even got in the fucking ring with that guy until Buster Douglas got there and started jabbing that motherfucker with his little... his dopey dope hands in front of himself.
Well, he obviously played the game.
Yeah,
game. He played the game. The game came out way too soon in Mike Tyson's career because after you know what he's going to do, you can defend yourself against that and beat Mike Tyson. You can be a little guy like this big in a video game and beat the great Mike Tyson.
Yeah, Punch Out. It was awesome.
That was my favorite.
And that the fuck. Remember he'd uppercut you and you'd be like, fuck, I lost again. How many times did you lose to Tyson on Punch Out before you finally beat him?
It was a good month.
Yeah, it was a while. You know,
it was a good month.
And I'm glad that you answered in time as opposed to mount. Like some people, if you would have said, I don't know, it was like six or seven times, like, you're a fucking liar.
Yeah,
because the only way that you beat Mike Tyson and Punch Out is if you played that game for a long time. It took a few weeks.
Do you know how many times I saw that guy riding his bicycle training?
Yeah.
On that radio screen.
Did he ride like one of those granny bikes that were three-wheelers with a basket?
No.
Did you ever ride in one of those bikes?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah? You know, like the one I'm talking about? If you ever like family or stuff in Florida and somebody old person, they had like that tricycle, right? The three-speed, like the big, you know, the fucking tires in the back, like a bike and had a basket. And they were great because you'd ride them around, but you'd turn, they'd flip over and shit.
No, it'd be nuts. But I was going to say, if Tyson and Holyfield fought in their primes, who would win?
Holyfield could take a punch, man.
He's finesse.
Remember he had a heart attack in one of his fights and still fought. He kept fighting.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
he also someone bit his ear off.
When I thought, I think when he fought Riddick Bowe, when he lost to him, he was actually going through the early stage of a heart attack.
I think if he would have a heart attack in the middle of a Mike Tyson fight, he would have lost.
Especially if he had a Fred Sanford heart attack. Oh my God, Elizabeth! Elizabeth, I'm coming, Elizabeth.
Who's that boxer though? That's really good now. The best boxer right now.
Floyd Mayweather. Yeah, he's
supposed to be the best. Ever.
Yeah, he's
about to get taken out by a UFC.
Colin McGregor's going to knock him out in a box? Now they're fighting boxing rules.
They're not fighting MMA rules. I don't think Conor McGregor is going to win, but if he does,
it'd be big.
The only way he will is if Trump backs him.
Yeah, yeah.
If Trump comes out and says Mayweather's got this,
I don't want to be. I don't want to be. I don't want to be like one side or anything. But I will be fair. No more political talk on the Monday shows. We're banning it.
I was just being funny.
I know. I agree with you.
The Patriots.
By the way, good news that the deficit has dropped over $12 million, or $12 billion, whatever the fuck it was. And nobody talked about it. Everybody keeps talking about racism, bigotry, and shit, and things. But they're not talking about that the national debt has fallen in the first month already based on the actions of our current administration.
Stock market's getting better too, right?
It's at its highest levels. Which, believe me, is a whole other discussion I can't get in at this moment. Here's the last story that I want to share with you guys. And this was the main story I thought was in. I don't know if you've heard of it. But the transgender teenager wrestler wins Texas State Championship. Now this is a girl, born a woman, that's been taking hormonal to be a boy. And for all intents and purposes, when you see him,
it's a guy.
Yeah. It looks like a boy
wrestling in a woman's league.
And he's wrestling. He's undefeated. I mean, she's undefeated. Whatever the fuck.
His name is Mac.
Mac Beggs. Or Bags.
Mac.
High school athlete Mac Beggs, a teenager who is transitioning from female to male, much like Fozzle.
Mm. Really good porn name.
That was your funniest joke ever, Dougie.
Hey, you want to get booked at Tavolino's?
Oh, I'm being sarcastic, bro.
don't cry. he won his 110-pound weight class in the Texas Girls State Championship. Uh-huh. Isn't that like, if somebody's transgender, they want to be considered? Now, I know the schools want him to fight. Because his birth certificate says girl. That's the rule in Texas.
Right.
But, and it was funny because when he won, half the people were booing because, like, you're a fucking guy. Of course you're going to win this. It's, you know what I mean? It's like retard versus.
It's not fair.
You know?
It's not fair, but it is.
Texas isn't allowing it, right? That's the problem?
Well, they won't let him fight boys. He wants to fight boys, which he'll probably get his fucking ass kicked.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? There was an MMA chick that was a guy that became a woman, right? And he's kicking everybody's ass.
Three fights in a row broke someone's orbital.
Wow.
Dude, that's what you got to do, Fozzle. You got to be a woman. And like, I don't know, be like an NBA player,
right.
Or you know, like a fucking tennis. You'd probably be the first chick that could beat Serena Williams.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Go up and you know, I don't know. This is getting out of. I mean, I don't know who gives a fuck. But what I'm thinking about is the poor girl. Think about the really good wrestling chick.
Right.
That's really good, and she's a female. You know what I mean? You know, and she has to deal with this fucking type of competition. You know,
big time too.
It's discouraging. It's like,
it makes you not want to try, you know. It self defeat.
Right.
Well, he could always move to another state where they allow him to fight boys.
Yeah. Hey, mom and dad, I know that you got great jobs here, and
I want to wrestle.
I think what has to happen is if you know what I mean. Now here's the problem: if he doesn't have a penis yet. You know, and all of a sudden he's wrestling with boys. You know, and the boys are like, you know,
right,
giving the reach around there. You know what I mean? It's like someone's gonna get like, oh, I can't believe
everybody has secret moves.
The reach around's a good move.
Some people do the Peterson, some people have the reach around.
Yeah, some people do the lazy stick man. That's a
Right.
You ever do the lazy stick man?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Monkey grabs a peach, you know.
Anything, you know?
Right.
Exactly. Fucking drunken idiot. The drunken idiot's good.
Okay.
Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and I'm here with our Monday co-host, Ciro Dobrik.
Hey there.
And guest in the studio, Fozzle Malik.
What's up?
who will be at a, somewhere soon. Where are you going
to
be?
I'm going to be at I'm actually going to L.A. in next week.
Yeah, you're
going
to be valet parking cars? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, working security.
You already got a gig set up?
Yeah, a couple of gigs.
Where?
I'm doing Malo Friday night with Matt Ritter, and then Saturday I'm doing the Ice House showcase.
Nice.
Yeah.
The Ice House?
Yeah, Ice House in Pasadena with, I forgot her name, Natalie?
Yeah.
Natalie, I forgot her full name, but yeah.
How far is... Yeah, that's the thing. I was gonna do L.A. stuff, you know. And I was like,
you're closer to Pasadena from San Diego.
Yeah, but that's why I was like, you know, when I flew, I was gonna fly into L.A. to go, or not L.A. You and I were talking about it.
Orange County, Wayne.
No, Nexus, the best place, not San Diego, either San Diego or the other place. It's called, or what's it called, Ontario?
Ontario,
it's a smaller airport.
Oh.
So I was going to flights are like round trip, $600. I'm like, what are you fucking crazy?
Yeah, expensive.
And then to LA was like $350, it was $450, whatever it was. So I ended up getting back in and out of Vegas for like, you know, $280. Thanks. And I'm going to rent a car and just drive. I mean, it's somewhat, I'm saving $300 in airfare.
Easily.
You know what I mean? So I'm doing gigs and it'll be in March. Middle of March, I'll be up there. So check out Fozzle and stuff. But we'll be back with Straight from the Headlines, by the way, right after this.
Hi, this is Ty Rivera, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. He's not a dickhead, and he's not popping peas.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure... some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it. First story of the day. Drone crashes through window of 27th floor New York City apartment. We are entering... somebody had a commercial about all these fucking drones going all over the place. I think it was maybe a Papa John's. Commercial making fun of, like, guess Domino's maybe the first place to deliver pizza,
right? That
you know,
Jimmy John should really do it. That would be great.
Jimmy John's sub, you could probably get a sub delivered nicely on a drone, but a pizza. I mean, I used to deliver pizza a lot, you know, when I was in college, when I came home,
right?
And it was great money, by the way, you know, it was because you're getting cash, you know, but some, especially if you're ever delivering a pizza that has extra cheese and sauce. You got to take it easy on the turns, because by the time you deliver that pizza, it looks like a melted candle on one side of the box.
Oh, okay.
As, you know, forget about a tip. You're like the guy. I had a guy one time run back out. He goes, "Bring this fucking thing back! What are you, fucking speed racer?" Like, dude, what the fuck? I ate it.
I used to leave my in college when I delivered pizzas. You know the hot bag?
Yeah.
I would always leave it at the dude's house or wherever I've delivered because. You know, they're like, "Oh, we're poor. We don't really have a tip, but if you want to smoke." I'm like, "All right." I had back to the store without the stupid bag again. The guy's like, "Are you fucking for real?"
Is that bag expensive?
Like, you would think it is. It's got to be like $60, $50 at least.
It's the point of every like third delivery would be like, "You're missing the bag again."
Yeah.
You're not even supposed to like put it down. You're supposed to put the pizza out, hold it under your arm.
Where I was, it wasn't like it was a Domino's. It's like a pizzeria restaurant. Okay. So they only had like two or three of those things anyway.
Okay.
New York, police in New York are looking for the owner of a drone that crashed through a window on a high-rise apartment building. NYPD officials say the drone crash occurred around 3:15 p.m. on Saturday into a 27th-floor apartment in Waterside Plaza Tower overlooking the East River in Manhattan's Kips Bay. Police say a 66-year-old woman living in an apartment shit herself was at her computer when the drone crashed through the window and landed just a few feet away from her, and she wasn't injured. But she did shit herself.
It's like, that would change all kinds of movies. That's like in Goodfellas when she's like, "Over there in number three, there's a whore that lives in number three." And the drone comes in, "Number three."
Drones are so annoying.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing the things that happen. I saw one of those drone bikes. A guy built like a motor, looks like a motorcycle that's like looks like a bunch of those drones.
Right.
That looks badass. Can you imagine being able to get on a thing and you just fucking fly and hover across? That's the next. That's the next best thing, baby.
You know, we should have had flying stuff by now. I mean,
you would think. You know, you'd think we'd have a little more advancement.
How many Bubba Fetts are you going to show us without giving us our own?
Bubba Fett was the best. When you see him flying across with a jetpack, who doesn't want a jetpack? Okay, well, here's another story. Too few flushes get legislative candidate thrown off ballot. Wait a minute.
I disagree.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. No, hold on a second. Wrong story. Okay. Yeah, I actually didn't cover as many stories as I thought.
Actually, about the drone thing, do you think they'll have self-driving cars? Talking about advancement? Imagine that driving.
My car self-drives every time I drink. you know, it's amazing. I guess it was Uber was kicked out of, they couldn't do them in L.A. anymore, California, right? So they went to Phoenix or something. But the big thing, the first thing they're going to do is self-driving trucks.
Like the big ones?
Yeah. So forget about the autonomous version, but like where organizations, companies have control over it
right.
instead of hiring truckers. So the trucker now is going to be, it's just like the toll collector.
Right.
Right. Right. Think about that. Think about, there's a few jobs in history that suffered based on advancements. One was the VCR repair guy, the famous VCR repair guy. Right. He's done. He you know, hopefully he bounced back. I don't know what he's doing now.
DVD.
Yeah, he moved to DVD. Repair and then he got, fucked, that was a bad move. Where'd I go now?
Now he's like, digital.
Yeah, you got to advance. And then, of course, so there was the TV VCR guy. Then there was the toll taker, right? You got mm-hmm. You don't need people in the fucking toll booths anymore.
All you needed was like a half a urinal? Is that? All
yeah.
They were replaced by half yeah, a urinal?
Exactly. Right. A fucking eye, like a camera that read your license plate. That's gone. So, but the next thing will be the truckers. And now they'll still have specialty truckers that have to drive through certain terrains and shit like that, like the Alaska cop fucking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, the working vehicle will be the first driverless. Now, the other question would be, like, would you get it? I want to drive. Now, I wouldn't mind having that, you know, if I'm all fucked up.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna be like, self-driving mode, put the nav in, I'm sitting in the back seat, you know.
Sleeping.
Right? That would be cool. But
I like driving.
I have a hard time. I'm a control freak in a sense. I have a hard time when I'm in the passenger seat. You know, when somebody's driving, I'm like, you know, fucking holding on to everything, you know.
Or someone drives really slow, probably agitates you.
What's the worst? All right, let me ask you a question. What's when you're driving with somebody, what would you say is like the worst behavior that person has that just drives you fucking batty?
When they touch your things without even asking.
So, no, I'm saying, like, let's say somebody's driving a car.
Oh, someone's driving a car. When they
all right, let's say that, too. So, you're driving a passenger, driving. Like, somebody's a passenger, or number one, or you're in a car with somebody, like, the way they drive. Like, things that just annoy you if they're driving you. You can't take it anymore.
When they hold the old shit handle for no reason.
Yeah. Like, they just,
like
just,
we're going up a ramp.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
Or the winting. The winting's the one.
Yeah. Or, like, or they just keep giving you directions when you know where you're going. Right? Like, hey, okay, dude, I've been to your fucking place 17 fucking times. You know, what I can't take is when I'm in the car with somebody that's driving and they go from gas to brake.
Oh, yeah. You the fast one.
They fucking.
Brake check?
I don't want to throw anybody under the fucking bus, but if you're ever doing a gig with Will Lopez, you better do the fucking driving. Like, I'm a fast driver and I trust myself. And that's the thing, you know, when you're in a passenger seat, when somebody's driving fast, you don't know their capabilities. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an excellent driver. You know, I've been training for it. You know what I mean? How to do 360 shit, evasive, the defensive stuff. I should be a part of a security detail I was part of. So, right. I know how to drive, you know, but you know, when somebody like the nauseating thing is when they go from brake to gas.
Oh my god!
They don't know how to just take the foot off the fucking gas and like coast a little bit. They got to go.
Actually, make sure they're stopping.
Yeah,
they don't have to.
That pisses me off.
Another thing that annoys me is the driver. When you're in a car with the driver and they drive slow in the fast lane, that to me is
annoying. Well, listen, that's the worst. And you know, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to make any racial comments. But right. I notice a lot of black people like to get in the fucking left lane in Florida and drive like 10 miles below the speed limit, You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's an average of 8, though. Yeah. I'll give them credit. It's 8 miles.
About 8. You know. And you know, and listen, I'm at the point now you talk about not getting aggravated. When it comes to shit, I'm a smiling guy on the road, you know. And when something like shit like that happens, you know what I mean? Like, actually, earlier today I was in Hallandale. I was at the light. I was going to turn. And, you know, a young black guy was on a bike. You know, and he was like looking at me like, you know, he thought I was George Zimmerman or something.
Was he wearing a hoodie?
Yeah, he did. He was look, young kid, coming from school, I guess, or something. It was like 2 o'clock, or I don't know. And I gave him the wave. Go ahead, dude. You know, like that. And he looked at me like, you sure you ain't going to run me over? I'm like, dude, I'm a nice fucking guy. I'm a nice one.
I'm smiling a lot.
Yeah, wow. You know.
Well, that is scary, though. Well, the guys, cause there are people that smile and let you go.
You didn't offer him Skittles, I hope.
Comedy's hard, dude. You know, I mean, you got to make a Skittles reference. I mean, really?
I know.
Here's another story. Swedish politician officials should have sex in lunch break. So in Sweden, you know, all the terrorism's going on.
Yeah.
And
where it is actually going on, which is the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, people, it was funny. Like, people say there was no, meanwhile, the country's squelching.
This place is perfect.
Yeah, the country's squelching it, but there's fucking bunch of riots going on between immigrants, people that are refugees that have come to that country, in Copenhagen, Denmark, a politician in northern Sweden, wants to list sex as an officially approved activity for civil servants during their daily paid lunch break. What are you going to do with the other 55 minutes? Per Eric Muskos of the City Council of Overtonia, on the Arctic Circle, says he's made a serious and formal proposal Monday to add sex to the list of acceptable activities, which also include the going to the gym or getting a massage, and we know what that means, as well as eating, and we know what that means. Everybody needs a little foreplay.
Yeah, but sex would work if you're a coworker, you're married to your coworker.
No, I mean, you can go home and bang your wife.
That is a good answer to the troubling times. That's a good answer.
Right? I mean,
I don't know what this guy thinks.
That's a good, but I don't know, man. I'm going to go home. I'm going to make love. And then I'm going to go back to work and take a nap. I mean, how productive are you going to be after you if you bust a nut?
True.
You know, I mean, the Swedes are crazy.
You know, when are you going to take your lunch? Do you take a late lunch, of course?
Well, you'd hope. You know, otherwise, honey, can you be home tomorrow at 10? Well, I got an early lunch. I'm, you know. Or, you know, maybe, like they said, you can go get a massage. Like, I guess what they're saying is, look, if you're having a stressful day, you know what I mean? And, you know, we don't care if you, you know, you can either go to the local, I don't know, Swedish meatball.
What are these guys dealing with on a daily basis that they need to just...
Listen, it takes a lot to make Volvos. Okay? It takes a lot to make Volvos and fucking Swedish meatballs and coffee and hot chocolate. He said that Friday the benefits could include improving employee morale and increasing the population of the town about 4,500. Oh, that's why you want to get ready to fuck. Musko said the municipality's 550 employees are now assessing his proposal before it's discussed in the city council in a few months, right after Big Orgy. The 42-year-old lawmaker said negative reactions to his proposal came chiefly from some elderly employees, you know, those old fucking bags, who find it embarrassing to talk about what happens in the bedroom. Well, have you seen these people?
No.
Anyway, I don't know. You know, in Spain and Hispanic countries, you have siestas. You know, you go home. Like, you'll work like 9 in the morning till like 1 or 2 o'clock. Then you go home for 3 hours. You have a 3-hour break.
Wow.
You go home, you know, eat, play with the kids, you know, bang your mistress. And then you go back to work.
Actually, you know, back in the day, America started that tradition.
Yeah.
And like, so many people just didn't go back to work. They went, you know, they got on wagons. They went west. We're like, we're going for gold. Fuck this.
Yeah.
It was our idea first.
Yeah. Who wants to sit there and make hats?
Listen.
Wait, then did they work for 6 hours instead of 8 in Spain? Or they just extended the day?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You work like a 7-8 whatever.
So actually,
day is,
they're working doubles, so it doesn't really.
Yeah, like two set, like, you know what I mean. But I mean, would you do that? Like, instead of working 8 to 5, would you rather work like 7 to 10?
I'd rather do 8 to 5, just get out of the way.
Yeah,
I don't want
to get it. Yeah, exactly. I'd rather work actually 10 to 2.
Yeah,
that's the way. Right. Again, being a producer, that was my life. You know, I was never like a punch clock guy. I mean, there was a couple jobs I had before I went to college, but for the even then, like my first, I was a sales guy when I started selling shit.
Right, so that's your own.
When time. I was in college, so you just You know, I used to go door to door, go to hospitals, sell like china and crystal and shit to nurses. You know, yeah, you work 3 or 4 days, you make, you know, I make about $1,500, $2,000.
You dealt a lot of rejection though to get to that.
Yeah, point. That's the thing. That, listen, right. that's a you know, they always say like in sales business, you got to expect a 95% failure rate.
Yeah, don't not care.
Yeah, if you call 100 people, like the old cold calling guy, you say, listen, right. If you're only on your 50th call, can you imagine you'd be on your 95th call and they'll say, hey, I'm gonna buy, and you're like, fuck it, that just made my day. Right, you got to get 94 no's before you get the fucking yes.
I feel like it's like that with booking for comedy too. You deal with so many no responses.
Well, you may be experiencing that, Fozzle.
Of course
but,
not. Of course not.
I'm not having
different
that.
Angle of comedy. That you got to through so many bombings till you get that one.
Now, all right, here's a good point. Here's an important message of that. It happens to everybody because not all bookers get so much stuff. Like it's my one nighter. I've got people that say stuff to me. I want to get booked. I want this. I want to do that. And, you know, there's a weekly show, which is good. You know, once a month shows, there's only 12 shows a year.
Exactly.
You know, you think of it that way. I have basically, let's say, a couple of things off, this and that. Let's say 50 to 48, 49 shows a year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got plenty of headliners. You know, I get headliners contacting me or people that are return people, you know. And then, you know, again, my hardest part's features, you know. So now, you know, getting back to it. So you know, if you're writing something, you know, sometimes I've read, like I've had bookers show me stuff that comics have sent. Like, right. You know, I've seen the people you have on the show and I'm much funnier than them. I don't know why you don't put me.
Well, you know, that's real professional.
You know what I mean? It's like nuts. It's like, you know, the only thing you could do is, now, again, some things are if there's a club you want to get to, if you know anybody, see who's on the calendar, somebody you know, don't be a hooplehead though and then, oh, that person's going, so I'm going to Facebook friend them, and then start sending them clips of myself. Say, "Hey, I'm going to be. Can you open? Right. Let me open
Make
for
sure
you."
Someone you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's the fucking thing, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't want to ask, and that's what I'm saying. It's like because when people ask of certain things, it's also the comic putting their reputation on the line.
Right,
like you know, there's a comedy club in Virginia, Cozy's, and I've seen a lot of my friends post stuff. Hey, I'm there, and it's a 2-night gig. It looks nice, you know. I've been to Virginia's a cool place.
I've never
From there, you can go to you know you're in that tri-state area where you can pretty much go to different places. And I said, yeah. And then I looked and I said, oh, this person's there. So I asked comic, hey, how's that? My question was, hey, do you think I can headline a room, this room, and like this and that? So you find all this stuff, and then you know, like, all right, great, because I would rather know that. If a comic says, you know, it's maybe not your cup of tea, the crowd, whatever, you know what I mean? You always want to do some, yeah. So that's a good way to do it.
Oh, okay, good.
But dude, I send out every Wednesday. I send out my emails, my avails, every 3 to 4 weeks, to people. Mm-hmm. So that's, I put a rotation. I put 3 to 5 people, you know, 3 to 5 different, every 3 to 5 weeks I'll send the club my avails and, you know, a recent video. And I'll even say, hey, by the way, I was recently at, you know, like now I was at McGurdy's. It's a nice club. It's an A room, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and I can say, hey, I was just at McGurdy's. So if they see that, they'll think, well, the guy's working, you know, and I send them my 25 minute feature set.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, hey, they see it. It's a good video, you know.
But you book for Tavolino. So if someone sent you like a 25-minute set, would you look at it or you just get the book?
I'll look at the first 5 minutes. It's interesting. You could see a video and you could tell somebody's funny in the first few minutes.
Right.
You could tell they're polished. It's really bad when somebody brings you a video and it's like their girlfriend holding the camera and the girlfriend's like, you know, I'll turn it off. I'll be like, and I won't, you know, at that point, I'd be like, look, man, because that obviously means this person is not a working comic. Because no room would look at that video and go, oh, you know what I mean? No matter how funny the fucking person is. Right. It's just, so, yeah, I'll look at it. And then, like, in 5 minutes, now, I'm trying to think of any reason I would watch it more than 5 minutes. Right away. And then sometimes I get videos that I'm like, I've seen a video and I'm like, why would the person send me this video? It's horrible. Like nobody's laughing. You know what I mean? And it's like, and then you know the as a booker, what's hard is, and it's interesting because people just won't respond. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean they don't like you. That just means there's no openings. They haven't really looked at it. They've got plenty of other booking. You know, right. They have locals and this and that. Like L.A. Comedy Club in Vegas. You know, I was there last year. I featured there for a week. It was great. I'm going to be at Pechanga Casino March 10th and 11th in San Diego area. I don't want to just go out to the West Coast for 2 or 3 days. I was going to do other stuff, like I said, like L.A. I was going to try to get some stuff. But cheaper to fly into Vegas. So I ended up getting, you know, I got more of a footprint. I've been there performing there, so I got other rooms to perform at.
Right.
So, you know, I'm going to do that kind of stuff, you know. But man, so, any rate, so, as a booker though, you know, you can't answer everybody. Now, sometimes people will send something and it's hard. Like you talk about, I've had people get mad at me. You know, in this business because of it. There's like somebody who wanted me to book them, and I couldn't book them. I even gave the video to Ed, but Ed didn't like it. Ed just looked at it, and Ed's, you know, and I'm like, all right, now I got to tell the person. What am I going to tell the person?
Right.
You know, I can't do it. And then guess what? That person's not booking me in their room anymore now. So, you know, it's like, do I really, where do you want to be? So conflicted. Send out stuff, always be polite. You know what I mean?
I can't believe people don't, like, being they don't book comics because you don't book them. I mean, if the comic's funny, just book them anyways. Who cares?
What was your question?
I was going to say, like, comics, you're right. They have this petty beef where if you don't book them, I'm not going to book you. But what if you're funny? Just book them.
Well, but that doesn't matter because there's, listen, if somebody puts up too many parameters, if they make it personal, like, I will book people. I don't have to like somebody to book them.
Exactly.
At Tavolino's. I don't give a shit about that. I care. The only thing I'm responsible for is the venue, you know? And that's what I'm saying. It's been challenging because guest spots are tough because we've had a bunch of bad ones. We've had some weak features. And, you know, it's getting to the point where I'm like, well, maybe we're just going to go to a two-man show where I get a really strong opening act, you know, instead of paying an MC I'll pay the MC feature money.
Mm-hmm.
And then just have the headliner and maybe throw in a guest spot of somebody who's auditioning or somebody who's basically in town, a real working comic that's in town, you know?
So you're going to have a 15-minute feature spot too?
Yeah, you know, we're going to do some stuff like that. I'm even thinking of tampering with the idea of some showcase stuff. But, you know, it's like I'm fortunate I'm working a lot, so I like to see people. I like to go out and see them myself.
Right.
And that's how I get, like Nadim. Right. Yeah, you know, he was at the show at the Funky Boot. I saw him. I said, you know what? I think he'd do well.
Which, by the way, put on a great show Saturday night.
You guys, yeah. I was going to go, by the way. I felt bad. And
it was nice.
I ended up just chilling because it's good to be home and not have to run around a fucking place.
Now, I'm glad you gave Nadim a chance. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, good dude. Anyway, that's all we have time here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I want to thank my co-host today, Ciro Dobrik.
Hey there. This is Ciro Dobrik at the Waking Up Late with Dougie show. We're going to get wild while he gets dangerous.
That's right. And our special guest today, Fazil Malik.
Yes, thank you. I'm performing at Underground's Coffee House this Saturday, 8 p.m. So in Fort Lauderdale, please feel free to stop by.
There you go. And by the way, Wednesday through Saturday, I'll be at the Comedy Cabana in Myrtle Beach. Looking forward to that. And March 10th, 11th, Pechanga Casino.
Pechanga, Pechanga, Pechanga.
I'm headlining that room in Temecula, California. Sunday I'll be doing a spot at the LA Comedy Club at the Stratosphere. That's the 12th of March, and I'll be at Club Nietzsche on Thursday in Vegas, doing a spot out there. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You can join our fan page at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show on Facebook, and of course follow me on Instagram and at Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. You
Instagram, Twitter at Ciro Comic, Comedy Detour, or thcint.com.
And
Instagram and Twitter at Fasolicious.
Thanks, guys. And thanks for listening, guys. Tomorrow, Elgin David and Peter Leonard will be in the studio with me doing this all over again.
Thank you, guys. Facebook Live.
Take care.
See you guys. And thanks for listening, guys. See you here tomorrow at the same spot. Take care.
Plays with Brit. Adolf builds a bonfire. Enrico plays with it. Whistling tunes, we hide in the dunes by the seaside.
without tears.